Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. It turns out that the atheists, the evolutionists, they have figured out that fish have been reproducing sexually for longer than they thought. Isn't that interesting? Now, God created animals, all kinds of creatures that reproduce sexually. Some plants, for example, they reproduce asexually. Now, there actually are genders in some trees and all, but plants, animals, insects, some produce asexually, others reproduce with a male and a female, and animals, the female will carry within her reproductive organs, she'll carry her young until they are birthed. Well, it turns out that evolutionists, and this happens all the time, this has been happening for 30 years that I've been following science news, evolution, creation. It turns out that they're saying that sex or sexual reproduction has been a fact of life for at least 380 million years, which is far longer than they had previously thought. For 30 years, I've been seeing these kinds of news stories. Oh, we thought flight evolved and such. We thought human beings evolved. We thought this and that evolved. Turns out you go back in the fossil record or you look at amber, fossilized amber, tree sap, and lo and behold, you've got creatures and bugs and bacteria and so amazingly similar to modern creatures and processes. And so they say, according to the journal Nature, which is the motherlode of evolutionary scientific thought in the world, according to the journal Nature, internal fertilization was widespread among prehistoric fish. By the way, there is no such period as prehistoric. We have written history of human life on Earth from the first week of creation. But it turns out that internal fertilization was widespread among prehistoric fish living on ancient tropical coral reefs. And this sheds, they say, new light on the reproductive history of vertebrates. And specifically vertebrates, for the public school teachers tuning in, that means an animal with a backbone, especially vertebrates that have jaws. So they are quoting a paleontologist at the Natural History Museum in London, Zarina Johansson, and I'm not sure if she knows whether or not she exists, the curator of the Denver Museum of Nature and Science, Captain Kirk Johnston, he doesn't know if he exists, as he told me in front of a group and a reporter for the Colorado Springs Gazette. He doesn't know if he exists, but perhaps this paleontologist in London, Zarina Johansson, perhaps she knows that she exists, but she deduced that male-female sexual reproduction among fish was common, for example, in sharks, after finding embryos inside of various types of fish. Now, how do you process that? Our phone number here is 1-800-8-ENYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. So they say that finding fossil evidence of reproduction is rare, and initially experts missed the embryos inside of the shark because they thought it was the last meal of the fish. They thought the shark, his last meal, they thought that's what they were seeing until they realized that, hey, this is an embryo developing inside the shark. And lo and behold, that happens today also. So lo and behold, sharks have been reproducing the way sharks reproduce today, way back to the early parts of the fossil record. Lo and behold, you know, creationists point this stuff out all the time. But you know what that reminds me of? The scientist who didn't realize it was an embryo. They thought it was the last meal. It reminds me of Charles Darwin. Remember he was in Argentina and he gave the chef the go-ahead to cook a bird for dinner? And it turns out that was the very bird that it had been publicized that he was most determined to find a certain type of elusive South American ostrich. And so the chef's got it, and the chef asks Charles Darwin, well, do we take this back to Europe as a specimen, or should we cook it? And Charles Darwin said, oh, cook it. Cook it, old chap. Just cook it. Fish and chips. Ostrich and chips. Just cook it. So they cooked it, and he's eating it, and he almost has a heart attack. And he realizes he's eating what could have been the greatest find of his journey aboard the Beagle. So it just reminds me of that, you know, the evolutionists thinking that this embryo was food from the shark. And this happens frequently over and over and over and over and over, where evolutionary thinking retards the advance of science. So scientists will be looking at something and they can't realize, they don't see what their eyes are showing them because they have an evolutionary mindset. And that has hurt the advance of science countless times. So it was thought that such ancient fish would show a more primitive type of reproduction, say the evolutionist. And they say that the evidence is the discovery. Now listen to this. They say there was a discovery of a modification in the pelvic fin on the belly of the adult fish. And that modification is what scientists believe enabled the male and female to reproduce. And you know what cracks me up? And they say, as happens with modern sharks. So here you've got evolutionists arguing, and this story is out of Dublin, Ireland, and it has to do with our journal Nature that promotes that we're really animals. We've evolved from animals. They're saying 380 million years ago in the fossil record, sharks reproduced sexually with a female shark having the embryo within her, and it looks just like modern sharks. Lo and behold, they must have evolved and modified so they look like modern sharks. So it's a pretty funny story from the evolutionist groping in the dark because of their rejection of the obvious truth that we were made by our creator. But right now, speaking of the Creator, our rights come to us from our Creator, not from the delivery doctor, not from the hospital. And I'd like to go to Georgia. In fact, the president of Georgia Right to Life, Dan Becker. Dan, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you so much. They call them inalienable or unalienable rights. I couldn't agree more.
Yes, they're unalienable rights. That's how they spoke a couple hundred years ago. And the unalienable right to life from our Creator, unalienable, meaning they're not transferable. You can't negotiate with them, so the government doesn't have the right.
Correct. Correct.
So, Dan Becker, could you tell our audience, we're here in Denver, we're pretty far from Georgia, but we have a 50,000-watt AM station, KLTT. Could you tell us what is going on in Georgia? There are 8 states now that are promoting the personhood of the unborn child, and we're so excited that Georgia Right to Life is in the lead of that effort. So can you share with us what you guys are doing in Georgia?
Well, you know, we woke up one day and realized we were in the 21st century. The emerging technologies are upon us that usher us into a brave new world. If we allow for any class of human life, any class, whether it's the disabled, the infirm, or even the preborn, in utero or ex utero, to be denied their basic right to life under our law, then we will have nothing moving into the 21st century with which to address the host of issues that are coming before our legislators and our courts.
We're speaking with Dan Becker, the president of Georgia Right to Life, one of the strongest right to life groups in the entire country. And Dan, there is an onslaught of attack on human dignity and morality coming from genetic engineers, people who seem like mad scientists cloning human embryos with animal embryos. They're creating hybrids. And so far, according to news reports, this has been done with about a dozen different types of species, but they only take them through a few weeks and then they stop them. And what a horror someday to see a chicken or a pig that has been cloned with a human being. So these are horrors, but you just said we need to acknowledge the right to life of every human being as a baseline, a foundation of rational civil government.
We call it the personhood approach because each individual human life is created imago Dei, in the image of God. They're a person under the eyes of God and should be under the laws of our land. It's the same thing that was addressed in the Dred Scott decision that denied personhood to an African-American slave. They were property. Right now, we have a bill before the Georgia legislature that would define an embryo as a person and not property.
Wow.
In anything dealing with this embryo, it could not be destroyed. It cannot be used for human research. It cannot be destroyed in any way because it is a person and not property.
Just like a 2-year-old little girl cannot be killed for research to further the common good of mankind, cannot be intentionally killed because her parents don't want her because she interferes with their career path.
Or worse yet, that she would be harvested for her organs in order to save a sibling.
Wow.
These are the type of scenarios that we're getting into with what they call therapeutic cloning.
Yeah.
Therapeutic cloning, in every case, a human death takes place.
I don't want to get us off topic, but that phrase, if I recall, back when the RNC was preparing for their convention this past election year, a leading pro-life attorney was arguing that the pro-life community should support therapeutic embryonic research and that the pro-life movement should support the Republican Party changing their platform to go ahead and advocate embryonic research. It's stunning the compromise of so many who are ostensibly in the pro-life movement.
This is not something that we as a pro-life movement can compromise on.
This is just startling because James Bopp, for 30 years, he's been at the forefront of the political, you know, he's been a political architect of pro-life strategy. And now you'd think it would be the pro-aborts urging the Republicans to change their platform to allow grisly embryonic research. But it turns out to be, you know, people within the pro-life movement.
Well, we are hoping to change the direction of the movement. We are advocating for a personhood approach across the board as the only consistent message and polemic base for presenting that human life begins at fertilization.
Well, Dan Becker, there is a website that you guys have created that is stunning, and it's called supportpersonhood.com. If people forget that name, they could get to it from the Georgia Right to Life website, from your homepage. But, Dan, it's stunning. People have told me when they see it, you know, they have a hard time watching the video, the animation, without shedding tears. And it is so powerful. It is a Holocaust memorial wall for the unborn. Could you maybe describe the animation? I've been watching it, and I'm just speechless.
Everybody's familiar with the Vietnam Memorial Wall in Washington, D.C. That wall is 10 feet high. It is 500 feet long and contains the name of the 58,000 men and women who gave their lives in the Vietnam War. In order to represent 50 million lives lost, it's a number that's incomprehensible. We really can't conceive of what that number represents. 50 million human lives have been lost since 1973 to abortion. If we were to recreate that Vietnam Memorial Wall, 10 foot tall with the 116 names per foot, it would take a wall 81 miles long to represent each life lost during this abortion Holocaust.
81 miles long. And Dan, what is so powerful, because sometimes people don't, when they hear things and they hear numbers, they don't register. In your video that you've got, this animation, we are looking at the wall And there's a mark, what is it, at 500 feet for the Vietnam Memorial, but then you begin to speed along the wall, and it goes on for 81 miles.
And what's beautiful is you can actually search the wall and read the epitaphs of names of, that people have adopted. We're asking the pro-life community to adopt one of these lives, a person. They were a person. They were anonymous, faceless. They died without any markers to their existence and time with us. And the least we can do is clothe them in death, in human dignity, by assigning a name.
Dan, as you're talking, I'm watching the video of the wall going by the landscape and the trees and the fields, and it goes on and on and on. And it pauses so that you can see some of the names on the wall. And it's just so powerful. I want to thank you and Georgia Right to Life for having the vision to do this. Here's,
well, praise God.
Here's Eve Becker, remembered that others may live.
It's a cathartic thing. We weren't expecting it, but we found out from Operation Outcry, post-abortive ministry to women, post-abortive women, that the first thing that they do when they deal with their abortion is that they name their child.
They name the
baby.
And
so, and it's not just post-abortive women. It's men who have been harmed through the abortion process. Yeah, I mean, it's just heart-wrenching when you go to the wall and you read the epitaphs. Forgive me, mommy, daddy, and so forth.
And so here is one. I'm looking at the countless names on the wall. These are names that people have come to Georgia Right to Life to support personhood.com, and they have basically adopted one of the plaques on this wall, and they have assigned a name.
And, that's correct.
And here is one, Simon Kramer, a brother missed but not forgotten. And David Strzok, we will be together for eternity, hallelujah. And it's just startling, David. I've made it a point to go to the Holocaust museums in this country and in Jerusalem, and the impact it makes on people when you connect the tragedy with individuals. We can't overstate that. And this is such an important part. This is what was missing. And Dan Becker, a few months ago, my producer, he's worked with us for over a decade, Ray Graybar, he's up in the mountains, Ross Mountain Public Relations. He was coming to actually Brian Rohrbaugh of American Right to Life and saying, we need a memorial wall. We need some type of a Holocaust memorial for these children. And that was a burden that was on his heart. And when he found this, in fact, when we all found out about Georgia Right to Life, we just thanked the Lord for the faithfulness to this vision to do this in such a majestic way. Thank you, Dan Becker.
Well, praise the Lord. Bob, we do ask for a donation to keep the spammers from desecrating the site, a very minimal amount.
Very minimal amount.
Very minimal. Anything will work, anything at all.
Right. For example, somebody could give a dollar or $10 as they dedicate one of these plaques to some child that has been aborted. And that keeps out those who would, from Planned Parenthood, who would mock the site.
That's right. It could go as low as 25 cents. The amount is not the point. We will donate all of that money to promote personhood advertising here in the United States. We hope to be able to run things nationally on broadcast to promote the basic concept that a person's a person no matter how small.
A person is a person no matter how small. And Dan Becker, president of Georgia Right to Life, I'd like to brag a little bit about you guys. Georgia Right to Life is one of the strongest state right to life groups in the country. You guys have made a significant impact in your state legislature among representatives, senators. You guys have politicians who you've been teaching to have the courage to stand up for personhood, which means no exceptions. If a child has the God-given right to life, that means you can't kill that child if his father was a rapist. Or if he's handicapped, you can't kill him because he's handicapped. So it is so thrilling for me to see major right-to-life groups coming out to stand up for the God-given right to life, the personhood of the unborn.
Deuteronomy 24:16 says that a child shall not be put to death for the crimes of its father. Our manner of conception does not condemn us to death.
Wow.
And yet many within the right to life movement would compromise in order to save some. I just recently made a presentation at the National Right to Life Board meeting in D.C. 4 weeks ago, where I showed them that we are saving babies. Arguably, more babies are being saved in Georgia as a result of a non-compromised stand than any other state in the nation.
That is thrilling because, Dan, I hope the audience could process what you just said. This is so powerful. And you have the opportunity, because you're the president of a major state affiliate of National Rights Life, you have the opportunity to bring it to their headquarters and present it. Because you're standing on principle, you are teaching the public, pregnant moms, you're teaching teenagers and governing officials that this unborn child has a right to life that cannot be violated if we're to honor the child or honor God. And that is a clear and powerful message. That's a message with a vision, unlike, for example, muddying the waters by, say, John McCain arguing all these various circumstances in which you can go ahead and kill the baby. Or if the baby's father is a criminal, here, we'll let tax dollars be used to pay to kill the baby. That confuses people. That makes pastors, that makes ministers wonder, well, does the baby actually have a right to life? And it seems like increasingly pastors don't know that the baby has a right to life.
Well, we are blessed here in Georgia. The Georgia Baptist Convention, from the top right on down, the publisher of the oldest religious publication in America, the Christian Index, the editor, Gerald Harris, we have their full support. We are enjoying a revival among the churches. Once you stand on a biblical foundation for the sanctity of life, you'll be amazed at what the Lord does in the way of fighting battles. And I'm going to draw your attention to Georgia in the next 3 weeks. We have some very firsts coming out of our legislature. Not one, but two landmark pieces of legislation that Dr. David Prentice of Family Research Council came down and gave testimony to the landmark law that is being considered here in Georgia.
Right.
So you can't do that until you train your legislators that life is uncompromising.
Wow.
Cannot compromise.
And Dan Becker, let me add to that. Just go north along the coast there to Maryland. They just got their date set, March 13th, 2009. There is a delegate there, Don Dwyer, who's introduced a Maryland personhood amendment. And this is just 4 days after the Maryland March for Life. So there's going to be momentum. And they've got a crucial legislative date, March 13th at 1 in the afternoon. And we pray during that hearing that pro-lifers will turn out and that Maryland will continue. Dan Becker, we just interviewed a representative from Montana, where the Montana personhood amendment passed their state Senate 26-24. And
That's
representative
right.
Just yesterday from North Dakota, where a personhood, North Dakota personhood bill passed their House of Representatives, and it looks good in the Senate. It may pass, and it looks like the governor might sign it. And then you have NARAL, the National Abortion Rights Action League, yesterday putting out an email blast saying that by their count, it's not 8 states, including Georgia. They think it is 17 states that have significant personhood efforts underway. Of course, American Right to Life was formed 2 years ago to promote personhood. Georgia Right to Life has come out of the gate Full Steam Ahead in Leadership, Personhood USA, Judy Brown's group, American Life League. There's the Thomas More Law Center. There's Alan Keyes. Dan Becker, this is a personhood wave overtaking the country.
Praise God. It's long overdue.
It's long overdue. And Dan, what is the website for? We talked about supportpersonhood.com, but if people want to go directly to Georgia Right to Life.
I'm going to ask them to go to personhood.net.
Personhood.net.
You can access the Abortion Holocaust Wall on that site. You can access model legislation and the strategy and the biblical foundations for what we're trying to do.
This is a thrill. Dan Becker, president of Georgia Right to Life, what an honor to talk to you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bob.
Wow. That is just a stunning report from Georgia, a leading affiliate of National Right to Life. The top affiliates are what? Michigan Right to Life, Pennsylvania, Texas, Georgia. Colorado Right to Life was the very first pro-life group in the country that had Right to Life in its name. Colorado Right to Life was formed years before Roe v. Wade was issued. Colorado Right to Life was formed after our state became the first in the nation to legalize abortion for rape and incest and life of the mother, health. Colorado Right to Life was formed, actually before even National Right to Life. And then 2 years ago, Colorado hosted a leadership conference and launched American Right to Life. What a great day in America to fight as a Christian should fight.